Sing this at church. Sing it with us. Come on. You're
on. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Oh, sing how great. How great is our God.
Come on. You got to get that Holy Spirit alive. Come on.
How great.
mixing Milo's.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Rise Up here on LFA TV. Thank you very much for joining in this morning. I really, really love those, you know, very familiar worship songs that we all probably sing in church. I mean, every church that I go to sings similar songs and hymns. And I got to say, How Great Is Our God, it's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite because over and over and over again, you just keep saying, how great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for being here. And as you know, you might have seen that some things have been switched around, show times. We now have a new show that started yesterday. I don't think a lot of people really knew it was on, which was Unrestricted Invasion. And Drew moved back an hour. Roger Stone came to the mornings. And we're also starting another show here in another week or so in the mornings as well, a True Money Market show, which will be on before Rise Up. Rise Up stays right where it is. But this morning, while we were putting up our streams, getting the upcoming streams ready for the day, there also happened to be a 1-2 punch where Rumble was not letting us get our streams up. So for hours, we were trying to get streams up, and people couldn't see them. People couldn't find them. People are still having a hard time getting in. As you know, right now, normally we have about 1,200 people. We're about half of our audience. And I'm getting messages left and right. Can't find the show. Can't find the show. Can't find the show. So, you know, that's, you know what I'm about to ask for. We need your help in giving the link to people on your Facebook pages, in your Facebook groups. This is what we count on. We count on each other. Is Pete still doing his show? Of course he is. Yes, he is. Yesterday, Ryan had to fill in for Pete and Will because they both had issues. Pete was in the hospital with a hernia, and Will had some technical issues. But one way or another, we make sure that a show is going on. So, need you guys to help us out. We're trying to grow here, and we need to get in front of people's faces. Now, this morning, my show, or I should say Yahweh's show, Godcast today, is about the law versus gospel. And we're going to dig deep into this. I don't want to have a lot of filler with, you know, videos and stories today. I do have one video to show you. But I really want to dig deep into the law versus the gospel. And I sent a newsletter out to all of you this morning with the link of the show in it. If you're having a hard time getting into the show, or people that you might know follow the newsletter and having a hard time getting into the show, the link is there. Okay? So, let's get to prayer, and then we'll dig deep into 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 18. Okay? One more time. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 18. And I find it odd that people are having a hard time finding the show. When you come to our LFA TV page on Rumble, it's right on top. Everything that is live is featured on the top of the page. So there shouldn't be anything there on the very top except for the show that's live. And then all of the upcoming shows should be on the bottom. I'm looking at it right there and it is live. So it shouldn't be too difficult to find. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask for guidance. Let's ask for him to be here with us today as we get into the law versus the gossip, or the gospel, not gossip. The gospel, not gossip, all right? Okay. Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you forgive us of all of our sins and trespasses of yesterday, as we embrace this new day that which you've given us and the blessings that follow. Lord, last night at the dinner table, as we were praying, we talked about how many sins that all of us collectively at the dinner table probably committed yesterday. And we come to the conclusion that between five of us, we'd probably committed hundreds of sins during the day, even the most minute sins. Lord, we know the law. We know the law because it was written in stone. The law was taught for centuries, millennia, and the law was followed. We also know the gospel has been written not with ink, but with the Holy Spirit on our hearts. Today, Lord, please guide us through this message with the full might, power, and love of the Holy Spirit. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord, and we thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're not always showing as live, says Kristen. I have to search most times too, but I usually find you eventually. Are you following the page? Because if you're following the page, you shouldn't have to search at all. but I will bring that to the attention of Rumble. Thank you very much. Now, if you have your newsletters or your computers handy, open them up. Open up your Bible, 2 Corinthians 3:1-18. Now, what I shared for you this morning was the complete Jewish Bible. And I want to give you some context to the verses that we're going to be studying and reading today. And when Paul left Corinth, many, many, many preachers, prophets, teachers of the law, whatever you want to call them, or whatever they referred to themselves as, ascended on the people of Corinth to teach them in the absence of Paul. We know that Paul was traveling everywhere, and we also know that Paul was locked up and writing letters to the people of Ephesus and Corinth and Galatia and so many people that he had taught and tutored during his time as a free man. And when these teachers came and these preachers came in the absence of Paul, they were teaching wrong doctrine. They were adding to, they were subtracting from. You had a lot of people that were coming in and teaching old law versus new gospel. And Paul said, basically was wondering what was happening. Why were these people being so fooled? And these preachers and teachers that were coming in with credentials. They had credentials. They had, I've done this, I've done that, I've taught here, I've preached there, I have the blessing of this person, I come from this family. They had written in ink credentials that really propped them up and put them on a pedestal. And it made the people of Corinth go, ooh, and forget, or I should say, stray away from Paul's teachings. Paul recognized this and addressed it in many letters to the people of Corinth. But where we're really going to start here and look at is 3:1-18. Now, in this group of verses that we're going to be reading, one thing that really sticks out is that Paul mentions the law of Moses and the original covenant between God and the people of Israel, the Israelites. And I love what Riverat said, man's credentials are worthless to God. And that's what they were. They were man's credentials that they were passing out and showing everybody so they could get the oohs and the ahs. Paul wasn't credentialed, they say. So you have the law of Moses, and that was the first covenant between God and the Israelites. That's in the Torah. That's in the Old Testament. Then, ladies and gentlemen, you have the New Testament, which brings us a new covenant. And this time we are no longer under the old law, but we are now under the gospel. This is why this is so important. D. Brummett says, the Morning Rise Up was buried below the other LFA shows. I don't know how that could possibly be when there's a featured section and it's right on top. I guess I don't see what you guys see. And maybe you're looking at the Rumble app. And maybe it's messed up on the app. I don't use the app. I never do. I use the mobile search engine and do it that way. And it looks just like it does on the computer. That's right, Lulu Red, 100%. And share. We're about 600 people short. So people are looking. I know you can't find it. But people are looking. Now, so we don't live under the old law. We live under the new law, which is the gospel. And they are very different. But they are joined at the hip. The new gospel, the new covenant under the gospel is not written in ink, is not written on stone. It is written on our hearts with the Holy Spirit. Written on our hearts with the Holy Spirit. The old law, which is not the gospel, was written on tablets by God. And the old law was very specific and very needed for that time because it was, I am God, you are man, here's my laws, accept them, follow them, or suffer the consequences. And the consequences back then were dire. And then we grew as a species. And we basically, like, you grow as a baby. And now when Jesus came, it was no longer time for, I am God, you are man, listen to what I say, here's your rules, very specific, very strict. Now it is, here's my son that I gave to you to take the world's punishments from all your sins upon himself so that there is no more division between us for you not following my laws. Now, Jesus has interceded and Jesus is the bridge that's going to bring me, God, back to you, man, and you live under a new set of, I wouldn't even say rules. It's like you become 18 and you're a grown-up now. The old law was like we were children. The new law is like, well, you're 18 now. Here's your options. Here's your choice. Accept my son as a bridge for us to connect or don't. But you will suffer the consequences both on earth and in hell. So there's a big difference between the law and the gospel. But here's the thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ and brothers and sisters in Christ who are married to Christ is rooted in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. Without that law, there would have been no gospel. Because the gospel basically just confirms the laws. What does Ray Comfort say? The Old Testament is God's promise to destroy death. The New Testament tells us how he did it. Again, you need one to have the other. But we don't live under the other, we live under the new. The One I Am said, Jesus lived and taught man the law by way of example. It's the same law. It is. But the gospel is very different than the old law covenant. Very different. Jesus brings a whole new aspect to the law. He didn't come and change God's word, even though it's very different for us. He came and fulfilled God's word and then gave us a new path to God through him. If that makes any sense. So even though they're very different for us, the law was fulfilled and the gospel is rooted in the old law. I know that's hard to understand, but I'm going to read for you these verses, so hopefully they help us out here. Let's see. All right. Let's bring up the verse of the day today. Verses of the day today, I should say. And we'll read them together, okay? And again, I brought these out of the Complete Jewish Bible. Let's get into it. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 18. Are we starting to recommend ourselves again? Again, this is a letter from Paul to Corinth about these people coming in and giving this new version of Paul's gospel or Paul's teachings because they are more, quote, qualified than he is, because they are more, quote, credentialed than he is. Or do we, like some, need letters of recommendation either to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. So Paul is saying, you are proof. You are all the credentials because you are one with Jesus. You understand Jesus' teachings. I have brought them to you. You yourselves are the letter of recommendation. Your growth in Christ, people seeing your faith in Christ, that is all the letter of recommendation Paul said he needs. Because what you do is known, seen, and read by everyone. And that is why Jesus wants us to be like him. Jesus wants us to treat others as we would treat him. When you do something right by somebody, to somebody, you're doing something right by Jesus. When you treat somebody poorly, you are treating Jesus poorly. Every interaction that you have with somebody, you have to act like, because you are speaking to, talking to Jesus. And people will know you by your fruits. And that is all the letter of recommendation that Paul says you need. And it's far better than somebody coming and providing you with a piece of paper in ink that gives them some kind of clout. You make it clear that you are a letter from the Messiah placed in our care, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tablets, but on human hearts. This is Paul explaining the importance of spreading the gospel, not just with your tongue, but with your actions. Not with your tongue, but with your actions are you all the credentials that anybody needs, because they see your works. And I love the way Paul mentioned this new gospel is not written in tablets. It is written on your hearts. So you all instinctively know what is right and what is wrong. You do not need to be taught this. With Jesus fulfilling the old law and bringing the gospel, this is now something that you do not need to be taught. God is here. The Holy Spirit is written on your hearts. It's beautiful. Now let's go to the next one. Such is the confidence that we have through the Messiah towards God. If it is not that we are competent in ourselves to count anything as having come from us. On the contrary, our competence comes from God. So this is telling us, don't be conceited. Don't sit there and wave around credentials and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at the people that I've taught. Look at the accolades that I've received. No, 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 no. All glory goes back to God. That's what Paul's saying here too. Let's go back to it. He has made us competent to be workers serving a new covenant, the essence of which is not a written text, but the Spirit. For the written text brings death, but the Spirit gives life. Jesus quoted written scripture. Jesus quoted written text. Jesus brought and taught what was unknown to people, or what people had overlooked or lost through text, and it brought a lot of death and destruction, misusing the word. Look at the Crusades. Look at the Catholic Church of old. Look at the way the church has twisted and perverted the word because of written text and scripture and brought death and destruction. But the Spirit, the gospel, written on your heart, brings life. There is a difference, even though they are the same. Let's move on to verse 7. Now, if that which worked death by means of written text engraved on stone tablets came with glory, such glory that the people of Israel could not stand to look at Moshe's face, that's Moses, but this is the complete Jewish Bible, because of its brightness, even though that brightness was already fading away. Won't the working of the Spirit be accompanied by even greater glory? Yes, amen. For if there was glory in what worked to declare people guilty, how much more must the glory abound in what works to declare people innocent? In fact, by comparison with this greater glory, what was made glorious before has no glory now. For if there was glory in what faded away, how much more glory must there be in what lasts? Do you see how important the gospel is? Do you see how we are literally deliverers? We are mailmen of the gospel of Jesus's letter that is written on our hearts. We are all Pauls. We are all teachers. We have just got to apply that to our lives and go out and teach it. And we must know the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, but how they are one. Think of it like this. I am Jeremy. My wife is Sabrina. She is the mother and the wife. I am the father and the husband. We are two different people, but we are joined together in marriage under God through Christ, connected through the Holy Spirit, and we have become one flesh. It's just like trying to understand the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all one, but only one God overseeing, but all one. Same thing with the Old Testament and the New Testament. They are two different things, but they are one. You can't have one without the other. You can't have yolk without the white, and you can't have white without the shell. They are all one. However, you would not go out there today, would you? and spread the old law of the old covenant? Would you? I wouldn't. You only go out there and you spread the gospel of the new covenant, which is rooted in the old law, which fulfilled the old law, but brought a new path to Christ through Jesus, or to God through Christ. Really incredible stuff here. Because there is a difference, and a lot of people are going to go, oh yeah, so you believe in God, huh? So you believe in I can have 15 wives and the rule of thumb, where I could beat my wife as long as it's only with a stick that's as wide as my thumb. You believe in this, that, and the other? No, I don't. Because we don't live in those times. And that old law is now superseded by the new law. Let's go back and read some more here. I really wish we could find our audience today. It's really odd, isn't it? Therefore, with hope like this, we are very open. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the people of Israel would not see the fading brightness come to an end. What is more, their minds were made stone-like. For to this day, the same veil remains over them when they read the old covenant. It has not been unveiled because only the Messiah, or only by the Messiah, is the veil taken away. What are they talking about? They're talking about the Israelites. They're talking about the Jewish people. You still have a veil over your face. And that veil is never going to come off unless you allow Jesus to pull off that veil. He is your groom. You are his bride. Only Jesus can pull that veil off of you so that you can see his face, so that you can see that the old covenant has faded away in the background, even though still needed, because the gospel is rooted in it. But our primary focus needs to now be on Jesus, the one who's unveiled and shown us more, and shown us that he fulfilled the old law, which made it new. I hope I'm teaching correctly here. I love this. Let's get back to it. Here we are, verse 15, right here. Yet, yes, till today, whenever Moshe is read, Moses, a veil lies over their hearts. But, says the Torah, whenever someone turns to Adonai, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the veil is taken away. Now Adonai in this text means the Spirit. And where the Spirit of Adonai is, there is freedom. So if you are still of the Jewish faith only, and you are still only reading the Torah, and you have nothing to do with the New Testament, you don't care about Jesus Christ, you don't believe what he is, then guess what? You are not free. You are going to be stuck. You are going to be stuck in the mire and in the muck, in the mud, and you are not free. That is why Jesus calls the Messianic Bible is the complete Jewish Bible, and that is why a Christian is called a completed Jew. Let's go back to the end here. So all of us, with faces unveiled, because we are Christian, see as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being changed into his very image from one degree of glory to the next by Adonai the Spirit, by God the Holy Spirit. So there is a difference between old law and new law. There's a difference between old covenant and new covenant. However, you can't have one without the other. It is completed. It's like building a house. And the foundation is the Torah, is the old law, is the old covenant, the law of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and those times. That's the foundation. Christianity is the house. You take away the foundation, the house crumbles. You crumble the house, the foundation lays agape, open, and at risk of being destroyed. You see what I'm saying? It's truly amazing. So there is a comparison and a contrast. But again, just like your wife and your husband are one, the old covenant and the new covenant are one. We just don't live under the laws of the Old Testament. We live under the gospel, the love, the mercy, and the grace of Jesus through Jesus Christ of the New Testament. But the old laws still apply to us. We just don't focus on them. We focus on Jesus, Yeshua. And by focusing on Yeshua and being more Christ-like, we already by default fulfill old law. That's it. That's how you describe the difference between the two. And I really love the way Ray Comfort says it. He says, the Old Testament tells us a promise from God of how he will destroy death and have salvation with his people again. And the New Testament just tells us how he did it. That's the quick version. Now, let me ask you this. Whether you are a believer or not, if Jesus were to walk into a room and somebody was there, and whether they were a believer or not, they knew at that moment that was Jesus Christ. So whether they believed in him and was like, oh my gosh, you're here, or whether they didn't and say, I didn't believe in you, I can't believe you're here, I believe in you now. Do you know that Jesus wouldn't even have to speak? You know what I mean? Jeremy, can you speak to the new law as far as eradicating same-sex relationships as no longer an abomination? Many people say today, Jesus is accepting of this. I personally disagree. No, he's not. The law of God is not accepting of homosexuality and same-sex marriages. It's not. But Jesus loves them just like he loves you. He loves them just as much as he loves you. So yes, Jesus loves them, but he does not accept that lifestyle, period. It's that easy to explain. It's really that easy to explain. Victory says, this is my church right here. Okay, now getting back to the Jesus story. If you had a lot of problems going on, or you were acting a certain way, or you were sinning, or your decision-making was not correct, imagine having Jesus walk alongside you for one day, 24 hours. And everything that you went to say and every decision that you made, you looked at him first. He wouldn't have to say a word. Say I was getting ready to, I'm driving and Jesus is in the car with me. And somebody does something crazy stupid. And my first reaction is to, or mumble under my breath about how much of an idiot that person is, or how bad of a driver they are, or how bad they suck, or whatever it is. All I would have to do is look over at Jesus. And Jesus wouldn't have to say a word, would he? He'd just look at me. And I would know not to do that. If I was getting ready to swear and I got ready to say a naughty, terrible word and I went off and I looked at Jesus and he looks at me, he wouldn't even have to change his facial expression and I would know not to do that. If I was in an argument with somebody or my wife, and I went to say something that I could not take back, right before I said it, I looked at Jesus, because he's with me right here. Again, Jesus would not have to say a word. He'd just look at me. Wouldn't have to change his facial expression. Wouldn't have to frown or make a sad face. Wouldn't have to do this. I would just look at him, and he would look at me with those beautiful eyes that he probably has. And I would be like, I'm not going to say that. Why? Because being Christ-like, the gospel, is written right here. He wouldn't have to scold you. He wouldn't have to remind you. He wouldn't have to correct you. He wouldn't have to do anything. All he would have to do is just merely be there. And you would know. Jeremy, I've been taking everything to God these past weeks. And let me tell you, it makes all the difference. It really does. It really does. I've been doing the same thing for the past few weeks. So again, there doesn't need to be any credentials around you or lifting you up or upholding you. All you have to do is be Christ-like. And if you're Christ-like, ladies and gentlemen, everybody will know who Christ is. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want to show people who Christ is? Isn't that what we want to spread the gospel for, but nobody will listen to us? Show them better than you can tell them. But don't show them the old law. Show them the new law. Like Bryce Crawford does.
It feels good to be coming into our local neighborhood, street, sharing Jesus without devoting ourselves to like an event or something. You know, the past few ones we've been going to like these pride events, which is great. We want to share Jesus everywhere. But sometimes I want us to remember not to forget our own backyard. So we're on the lovely Hollywood Boulevard today, hanging out, sharing Jesus, praying for people, preaching the gospel. It's going to be awesome.
Praise Jesus. All jokes aside, we are nothing without our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Come on. What do you think about that?
Go get it.
Cute. How are you?
I'm all right, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. What's your relationship with Jesus look like right now?
It's always been great.
Yeah.
I've been in touch with my spirit guides as well.
Okay, your spirit guides.
Yeah, my spirit guides, they're more or less a lot closer to us than Jesus and God is, you know what I'm saying? But they're his descendants. They work through them. You know what I'm saying? But they're more or less like your ancestors, people who passed away. They're the ones who really began the miracles done for you.
Okay, so you believe that like our ancestors are our spirit guides in this lifetime. Do you communicate with those spirit guides?
Yes, I do.
I guess it's hard for me to understand that a little bit as a Christian, because the Bible says in Psalms, it says a man can plan his way, but the Lord establishes his steps, right? As a Christian, like the Holy Spirit is my guide. And so if I'm listening to an outside source other than the Holy Spirit, right, then it wouldn't be a good spirit, right?
The Holy Spirit isn't the only thing that contacts you, though. The Holy Spirit is, it's almost like your own AI. But you still have good entities out there that's pushing you forward, giving you signs and giving you steps. A lot of different levels to heaven as well. Seven different levels. You know what I'm saying?
So Where is that at?
Listen, as far as spirituality goes, I'm a Christian too. I started a Christian. I'm 40 now. I've been on a spiritual journey my whole life. I study Buddhism, I study Muslim, I study everybody's religion, and basically, we're all going to the same place with different directions. If they have good to preach, you should study it, you should take it into consideration, because you'll get a founder explanation of the knowledge that you're seeking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So have you heard the gospel before?
Of course.
What is the gospel?
God's word. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I say that prayer every day.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So that's the Lord's Prayer, but the gospel, like, what is the gospel?
What is that? Interpret it to me.
Yeah, the gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay. Him dying for all of humankind's sins and resurrecting. And it's because of Jesus' death on the cross that we can be saved. And if we put our faith and trust in Him, then we'll be saved. There's an interesting thing that Jesus says. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. When we're listening to anything other than the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the world can say there's like white energy, good energy out there, right? But Jesus says, like, I'm the only way. I'm the only one you should listen to.
And so for that instance, that means everything that you're saying, I shouldn't listen to because you're not Jesus. And I think that's wrong.
You should be able to receive it if it's the Holy Spirit talking through me. And I'm bringing out scripture, right? I'm pointing to scripture. Jesus says this in the Bible. Jesus says this. Now, like, let's say you're talking about your spirit guides, for an example. Like, for me, it's hard to listen to another spirit or energy that isn't Jesus, because as a Christian, I listen to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, right? And I think that's how all believers should. Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. It's the seal on our heart that guides us. And the Word of God is, when I don't know what to do, I turn to the Word of God because it's God-breathed. It's what He's speaking to me. It's like my instruction manual. He's a good father and He's telling me what to do, not because He's trying to force me to, but because He loves me and He knows best what's for my life. I think the thing that I'm having a hard time understanding with the spirit guides thing is when I go to a source outside of anything but Jesus, it would be demonic.
What if your dad passed and your grandma passed and you get inclinations of their presence and dreams and different suggestions? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
that
sure.
are the things that they taught you when you were here.
Right.
You know they're of good. You know they have something good to tell you and they're looking over you.
I'm a human, right? You're human. I don't have the power to control my spirit. My spirit is God's. And in this lifetime, I get to choose whether I want to follow Jesus or not. And based on what I put my faith and trust in is my final outcome for eternity, whether I'm with God for an eternity or whether I'm separated from God without eternity. And you believe in spirituality. You've mentioned it quite a few times. And so if this world is spiritual and there's a battle for your soul, then Satan would influence you. What if Satan's not trying to be obvious, but he's trying to do something just slightly off, right?
Because you can see it though, man, when you live in a straight path and you're clean and you're on a clean path, you see the distractions, man. You see them.
Well, what if you can't? Because deception is the nastiest thing on the planet, because you don't know you're being deceived when you're being deceived.
Well, when it's you get a little older, your chakras start aligning up. I learned about my chakras and aligning up with my own spirituality within myself and being able to read certain people, recognizing certain signs. So I was an indigo kid, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I'm so spiritual now. And that's why I know I was led to be on a certain journey rather than just stereotypically just being a Christian. You know what I'm saying? That was my foundation. That's where I started from. But now, if I die, I have my own doctrine that I've been reciting through my music that my kids will be able to interpret my intake on the world.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really important.
So if your foundation is Christianity, and then from what you're saying, you're like, I take a little bit of here too, and a little bit of this, like you take a little, you kind of tweaked Christianity a little bit. I'm a Christian. There's a Muslim and a Buddhist here. Who goes to heaven?
Oh, we're all going to the same place with different direction.
We are. We're all going to the same place.
We're all going to the same place.
I respect Muslims highly. They are extremely, it's just them and God. It's just like their relationship. But with Muslims, they deny the deity of Jesus, Jesus being God. Okay? Buddhists, they just believe in enlightenment and reincarnation. Just to sum it up, I'm doing a sum. For Muslims, they have a basic five pillars of Islam, and they're trying to do enough good to get to the afterlife. It's like Allah weighs their good and their bad.
Right.
With Jesus, it's not about anything we do, it's about Him, right? And so how can each of these religions, right, if they all contradict each other, how can they go to the same place if Jesus Himself says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And yet, so, in your words, you're saying the Muslim and the Buddhist all go to the same place.
The things that I learned. Heaven and hell is for people who seeked it while they were here. You could get to heaven while you're here. You could align all your chakras, your Merkaba light up, and you turn into pure energy and you're out of here. You die.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's Bryce Crawford. We're running out of time. There was only a couple minutes left of that video anyway, but you can see how many people are misled, how many people think they've learned something, and they really haven't. They're actually going backwards. You can see it. And what we've got to do is we've got to be light bearers, and we've got to bring the correct word. We've got to bring the correct teachings. And those are only from Christ. Jeremy, what is the best Bible to understand? I have the King James Version, and it's confusing me. Well, it's really up to you, but I would say the ESV is pretty good. The 1599 Geneva is pretty good. And the Complete Jewish Bible. Those are the three that I'm reading right now. But other people have different opinions on that. Find something that the Holy Spirit guides you in. Mike Crispy, Unafraid, starts right now. Followed by 2 hours of Live from America. God bless you all. And remember, Old Covenant, New Covenant. One and the same, both different. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here today and learning with me. See you later. Ooh.